Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaveryan Karavavahai, Tejasvina Vadhita Mastama Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, so any questions to the previous chapter? Chapter 10. So now we know all the techniques.
One question about Lord Gauranga. How should we expect the Lord's mercy? So the question is, Gauranga gives everything. No, not everything. Gives what's most dear to the spiritual world, because Prema Bhakti to the most part. Right? And if we are chanting and it's not coming, should we just be patient?
Because if you chant and that
Prema should be the first in the line.
Then Krishna Prema is not coming?
Yeah.
Okay.
Stop chanting.
No.
Well, you should be thinking like, why is it not coming? No, what is the difficulty? And so, but one should not have really doubt in the process itself. But once we understand that well, the process it's faultless. And Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he is here to give the mercy to everybody. Now we seemingly are not getting it, so then why? So then that should be the consideration. Now what are we doing not properly? Technically you may be doing everything not completely right. But unless you chant Shudhanam, you won't be able to appreciate and to actually receive the love for Krishna. Chanting in Nama Bhas, you can get everything except Krishna Prema. So that we are not chanting, so technically we may be doing everything right. But the problem is probably the mood. Are we sacrificing ourselves for the sake of the others, the devotees, the Lord? Are we doing maximum where we can? See, everybody has a certain capacity. But everybody should be doing according to their capacity. Not everybody same. Now, like when Ramachandra was building the bridge, so then the ants were carrying no little pieces of sand or small little pebbles. And Garuda could carry whole peaks of mountains. But Lord Ramachandra appreciated everybody's work the same, because they all work up to their capacity. So are we engaged up to our capacity? No. In the service. Because if we are, then yes, we will understand, we will realize our position. But if our capacity is greater than what we are doing, then we will keep those reserves which we are keeping, that will keep us away from the realization. So as much as we are trying to get fully to understand our position. So to that extent, then we will be understanding. Yeah? So it's the mood. So if it's not coming, so then we should be questioning, are we doing everything right? There, you have devotees, and they say, I'm chanting not 20, 25 years, and I'm not getting the taste for chanting. Now, then the question may be, are you not committing any aparat? Are you not committing Vaishnava aparat? Because, sending emails around, and criticizing devotees is Vaishnava aparat. Doubt spiritual master. That's all considered. So then this is the first thing which takes the taste for chanting away. So technically you may be doing 16 rounds, even more every day. But you may not be getting the taste just because of these apparatus. And it's not Krishna's fault. It's not the devotee's fault.
So we should investigate.
Yes. Analyze. You have to analyze what is the problem. But problem here becomes that once we doubt in something, it should not be us. We rather doubt everything else than us. That's the conditioned soul's nature. And then the doubts, they turn into misgivings. Oh, I don't need to associate with, he's an apostle. Oh, he's this, he's that. No, I don't need anybody. I'm the best. So I should associate with myself.
And that's when the kind of goes down.
Yes. It's best not to do everything myself. Because to teach somebody, it's a hassle, not such a problem. So rather I do this, I do that. But not involve anybody, I don't want an association. Everybody has some faults. So that will keep us alone, unhappy, and not progressing. That's Kanishta.
Survey, is it helpful to ask the Lord to show us?
Hmm?
In that survey which you mentioned, mm-hmm. Is it helpful to us,
Gauranga? Well, it is, but we have to be ready to make the step that we would like to associate the devotees. Because Mahaprabhu, he may come, but he comes through his devotees. You see, we have to be ready that when the devotees come with us, not to this festival, to this 24-hour kirtan, no, come with us, no, let's go. Then we should take the opportunity. Prabhupada also, whenever there was opportunity, and when he was doing business, was opportunity, he took the opportunity. When it was devotional service, when it was opportunity, he took the opportunity. Because the opportunity may not come again. So when you have opportunity to perform devotional service, take it. It may not come again. You have opportunity to establish a relationship with some devotee. Take it. Don't leave it for after. It may not come again. Then, that you took the opportunity, even if you figure out that it was not worth it, but still, you learned something. You realized, okay, that was not worth it. So it's very positive, because now you know that you learned something new. And if you took the opportunity and it was worth it, you will be very happy. If you didn't take the opportunity, then you may be, for the rest of your life, No, lamenting that why you didn't take the opportunity. Now you have the opportunity now to go and spend time in Holy Dham. Just take it. Oh no, I'll do it later. And then later never comes. You'll be lamenting that you didn't go. Oh, I don't need to. I'll create dham here. So then the question is, what are we doing? Are we doing everything up to our capacity? Are we doing taking the opportunities and whatever there is? Are we following the Dharati Pratigrihnati Guhyamakati Prichati Bhungte Bhujayate? If yes, then the relationship will get deeper and deeper. And we will be more and more happy. But if not, then we will be more and more alone. Because these are the ways how you can associate the devotees and deepen the relationship. This is no email or no Facebook or anything like that. Rupa Goswami doesn't mention that.
Goswami doesn't use Facebook.
Yeah, he doesn't. Doesn't recommend it either. So
while chanting, should we try to focus on hearing and pose ourselves like a servant of the Holy Father?
See, first, just we should try to hear ourselves. We should just absorb in the name. Then, if we are capable of doing that, then we can meditate on actually what is our mood. So we can meditate on we being the servant, and we are very eager, actually even like very greedy for service. So we are desperate. We want to do some service. So that if we can think of that whatever it comes, I will be happy. But then, if you do so, then anything can come. And that will be your test. The anything can be that you lose things. And how ready you are, then you will see that for yourself when it comes. That's when we surrender fully to Krishna, then we are in His power. That's full surrender. If we want some conditioned surrender, it's also possible. We may not be able to immediately fully surrender on the spot. So we may conditionally surrender. Maybe something, but I'm too attached to certain things, so I'll be still dealing with that, but rest of my time, I'll give to Krishna. It's glorious. Grihastha has to give his time to his family. That means he has to work to make money to maintain the family. But the rest of his time should be for Krishna. The way how he gets the money, he can make it such a way so it's connected to Krishna. He doesn't have to do something which is disconnected from him. Raising of the family can be connected to Krishna. But the aspects will be the attachment, the material attachments. So it's there. But the grihastha life is meant for to practice detachment. So by the attachment, then one gets, you know, saturated. Performing duties, you know, with the attachment will make us saturated. We will figure out that actually what we are doing is pointless. Then at certain point, it is possible for the grihastha to realize that and to get detached.
That's why he put nice karma into the service, right? He does it because of duty, but he's not attached. He's doing that because
he may not be doing it in the beginning. May not be able to, but with realization, yes, then he does everything as nice karma. And then with that, then he can take vanaprastha. But he will do that when the children are properly grown up, that they can take care of the mother. So he has no bad feelings in his mind that he did something wrong. No, he knows everybody is taken care of, so now I can take vanaprastha. And sannyas. So then sannyas, his realizations, he will share with others. Everything is its own time, and then based on one's capacity, so then one may go through this process or that process. The way of how one realizes who he is, it's not that important. But it is to be followed by Guru Sadhu Shastra. So based on one's mentality, one may have to go through grihastha ashram. Somebody else may not. But it doesn't really matter. As long as both of them are engaged, you know, up to their capacity, you know, in devotional service, they will both achieve the same goal. Okay, so chapter 11, the aspects of transcendental service. What is servitorship? In the opinion of the karmis, of fruitive workers, offering the results of karma is called servitorship. But according to Vaishnava acharyas like Rupa Goswami, servitorship means constant engagement in some kind of service to the Lord. In the Skanda Purana, it is said that those who are attached to ritualistic activities, the four orders of social life and the four orders of spiritual life are considered devotees. But when devotees are actually engaged in offering service to the Lord directly, these must be Bhagavatas or pure devotees. Those who are engaged in fruitive activities or prescribed duties according to the four orders of social and spiritual life are not actually pure devotees. But still, because they are offering the results to the Lord, they are accepted as devotees. When one has no such desire, but acts spontaneously out of love of God, such a person must be accepted as a pure devotee. The conditioned souls who have come into contact with the material world are all more or less desirous of lording it over material nature. The system of Varnashrama and the prescribed duties under the system are so designed that the conditioned soul may enjoy in the material world according to his desire for sense gratification and at the same time gradually become elevated to spiritual understanding. So this is very nice synopsis of the difference between never forget and always remember. So here Rupa Goswami very clearly says that those who can always remember, those who can always be engaged in the service to the Lord fully, those are the pure devotees. Now, those who perform ritualistic activities, some fruitive activities, and offer the results, then they are also devotees, but they are not considered as a pure devotees. They also will be devotees. But the point is that they are not going to stay on that platform. The idea is that they will keep elevating themselves, so they also come to the platform of pure devotion. So that's why Varnashrama Dharma, without Daivi, Varnashrama Dharma, it's not useful. So Krishna must be in the center. Then it is useful. Because anybody within the Varnashrama, the Daivi Varnashrama, can elevate himself. But if one gets stuck to his prescribed duties and then does only that, without knowing whom I'm doing it for, will not be able to elevate himself. So the karmis, you know, when they offer the results, they call it servitorship. But the devotees, for them servitorship means constantly engaged in some kind of service to the Lord. It's a very important point. As you mentioned, no, never forget and always remember. Srila Rupa Goswami describes one who is fit for becoming engaged in devotional service. He says that persons who are neophytes and who have developed little love of Godhead are not interested in the activities of sense gratification in proportion to their devotion. But if there is still some attraction for sense gratifying activities, then the result of such activities should be offered to Krishna. This is also called engagement in the service of the Lord, with the Lord as a master and the worker as a servant. Now, sometimes, see, this process actually is very misunderstood by many devotees. The process of gradual elevation. Because of our conditioning, then we think that why should we go through this? We can jump over. We are perfect. Now we can become perfect. So why do we bother going through this process at all? We can just skip the process of Varnashrama, then I'll just chant. I'll just engage myself and that will be it. Same like Arjuna, he goes to forest and he's going to meditate. Now, as Krishna calls him fool, so, same, this is the same foolish idea now many devotees have. Why did Krishna call Arjuna fool? Because Arjuna had certain condition. He was conditioned to be a fighter. He was a kshatriya. So he had to engage the activities of kshatriya to become purified, to come to the highest platform. So same with anybody else. Even the devotees. Everybody has certain qualities of a certain nature. So that nature has to be engaged. So if somebody is capable of going to the forest, meditate, and not get disturbed, and actually benefit from it, well, yes, okay, one can do. But how many of devotees are like that? It's Kali Yuga. It's very difficult. If not, not with the gross body, but definitely the subtle body, the mind will give us problems. So, what will be the gain? Okay, we go, we try it. We try, we fail. Then what is our option? Try it again or let it go? if we let it go, then how much inspiration we will have for anything else. And then the natural thing will be that we will start thinking that the process is wrong. Yes?
When you say try and fail, what exactly do you mean?
It's okay, I'm going to chant, 24 hours I'll be chanting, like Haridas Thakur. So I'm going to go to the forest.
Yeah.
And then, I'll be there, for a few days, not eating, right? And then, where is my lunch? How come nobody is bringing lunch? How come that nobody is here to listen to my chanting? How come that nobody is giving any attention? What is this?
So you return back into the society.
Well, but this time it will be more difficult because you feel that you failed.
Would you fall into gross maya when you return, like snap and go?
I know many devotees who did actually.
Yes.
I know one devotee. Many devotees with various stories. One devotee, he tried really, he was doing service for a long time, and then somehow he got fried, I don't know why exactly, but he got fried, and then so he took work on a ship, because he wanted to forget Krishna, working on a ship, it's a tough job. It's very difficult to follow any of the regulative principles. But even though he went through such a tough times, he was saying he just could not forget Krishna. But then he was really trying hard, because he thought he failed. He did not get what he was expecting. So when devotees try something out of not based on Guru Sadhu Shastra, something may be in the Shastra. They don't consult Guru. They don't consult Sadhu. They don't ask if it's for them at this stage. But they say, oh, that's cool. That will work. It's me, so of course it must work. It's written for me. So they try it, it doesn't work. So that's wrong. I cannot be wrong. That's wrong. So we start to doubt the Shastra.
How about trying to improve your sadhana? How does that fit into this?
Well, this is the Trinadapi Suni Chana. We put ourselves into a humble position, try to find out actually who we are. So then, with that, it will be easier for a sadhu and guru come and instruct us what to do. So this is not for you. Maybe later, but don't try it now. Take up service. Do some cleaning in the temple. Do some gardening. You are good at singing, just sing. You are good at cooking, cook. You are good going out distributing books, go do that. But do it very intensely. So you become really tired, and then the mind becomes very tired, so you cannot think about anything else. Fully absorb yourself in that activity. You get purified. And then, using that, you can perform any other activity, now or purified. So you will naturally know what is good for you and what's not. It's our false ego which let us think that I am better than everybody thinks. So if I see something written, it must be for me. That's the very unfortunate situation of the conditioned soul. The false ego gets involved that way. But if we understand that, okay, it's me, I need advice. We take a bit open mind. Is this for me or not? Seek help. And if it is not, okay, I will not do it yet. But it's really the false ego thinking, it's me, I have to know it. I need the best. I'm the best, so I deserve the best. But where does it come from? Why should we deserve the best? And what do we know what is best?
That's the usual mistake in the West, that everybody thinks they know what's best for them.
Yeah, but they should define it. Now, the biggest thing may not be the best, the most expensive thing may not be the best. Now, Rupa and Sanatan, now they kept that touchstone in the pile of dirt. And when the... What was that? The person, he comes and he's looking for it. And just take it, it's there. So he's happy having it, but then he figures out, wait a minute, why is it in the pile of dust? That's not the best. Now when Narottam Das Thakur was carrying the books to Bengal from Vrindavan, so then the astrologer told the king, they are going to carry now a huge treasure. So then they took it from them. And then they figure out, where is the treasure? No, it's just books. But when they were explained about these books, so then the king understood what treasure it is. It's just definition. But when we engage our false ego, we are biased. We don't know what is the best for us. So therefore, we have to engage others to tell us what is best for us. And be open-minded, accept it, and try it. And if somebody takes the time, the effort, to tell us that we did something wrong, we should be very grateful to the person. Because that person, he is trying to tell us that we can improve in something. A person who says, oh yeah, always perfect, now you are now the best. He is our worst enemy, actually. He is flattering us, knowing that we are doing things wrong, but he tells us, no, it's good, no, just keep doing it, knowing that we will now fall for it. And then if we will do it wrong, so he will become better. So we should now properly choose our association. What is devotional service in friendship? Devotional service in friendship can be divided into two categories. The first is to act as the confidential servant of the Lord, and the other is to act as the well-wisher of the Lord. The devotee who has confidence in devotional service to the Lord systematically follows the rules and regulations, which with the faith that he will achieve the platform of transcendental life. The second type of devotional friendship is to become a well-wisher of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that the Lord accepts a preacher as the most dear servant. So there are two kinds. So then devotional service in friendship.
Uh,
Not necessarily. See, one is, one follows with faith the rules and regulations. Why? Because I admire Krishna. I would like to know, so I am his servant. But I am obedient to him. In the other, when one becomes his well-wisher, so one may actually even act in the superior position. So like Madre Yashoda. She is Krishna's mother. So she in one sense acts in the superior position. But she cannot do anything without Krishna. So she is fully surrendered to him. And as a friendship, you may see, you know, some friends, they are, you know, very like a junior to Krishna. So then they are always listening to what Krishna has to say, and they do, and you know, without much questioning. But no, some friends are like Madhu Mangala, right? He always thinks that he's so. Giving Krishna very good advices. No. It's all for the rasa. So, that way then, but in either case, there is a relationship. Yeah?
It just seems that the example that is given in the chapter, it refers in the well-wishers example to someone who must be on the Guru at that point, because it has to have realization what is the best for Krishna, whereas one in rules and regulations is still trying to learn.
You see, even on the Rupanuga platform, then one still follows the rules and regulations. Why? Because Krishna gave the rules. And person on Rupanuga platform, he has no problems following the rules. But he is not, you know, following the rules for the sake of following. For him, the spontaneity is more important than just the rules. So if there is time, if there is, no, the situation allows, he follows the rules. He has time to go to sleep, so he goes to sleep and wakes up in the morning. If he doesn't get time to sleep, he doesn't sleep. And he doesn't notice this. If there is a time and opportunity, he takes prasad. If there is no opportunity and he is busy chanting or doing some other service, he forgets. It's not his priority. So for him, priority is devotional service. So he's engaged in one service, he does it. When other opportunity comes, he takes it. If it doesn't come, he's not lamenting. So he can always think of Krishna as not being his well-wisher. So there must be some, there will be no higher level of realization. Because there must be an understanding, yes, as you pointed, no, what is best for Krishna. But it's still, so he will, how he will based, no, his, what is best for Krishna. He will still base it on what he knows, that's the culture. Because the culture, the Vaishnava culture, which we are trying to follow here to our best, ideal is in Goloka, in the spiritual world. The woman, they cover their heads. They don't go to the public freely. They follow all the rules what we have here, but they follow it for the sake of relationships. So whatever enhances the relationships, that's the way how they would do it. And if it wouldn't, they wouldn't bother. How do we surrender everything to the Lord? Regarding complete self-surrender, there is a nice description in the Srimad Bhagavatam where the Lord says, a person who has completely surrendered unto me and who has completely given up all other activities is protected by me personally, both in this life and in the next. In the other words, I wish to help him become more and more advanced in spiritual life. Such a person is to be understood as having already achieved Shashti, or having equal opulences with the Supreme. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:29-34. This self-surrender is called Atma Nivedana. According to different authorities, self is differently defined. Self is sometimes considered to refer to the spirit self, or soul, and self is sometimes considered to refer to the mind or to the body. Full self-surrender, therefore, means not only surrendering oneself as a spirit soul, but also surrendering one's mind and body to the service of the Lord. Also important point. Now, to surrender oneself, then what does it mean? See, the soul, it's already surrendered. But the soul, being covered with the ignorance, don't know its position. So how do we surrender ourselves? So the only way how we can do, then we have to surrender the body, mind and words. Through that, then eventually we will purify ourselves to understand who the self is. So then we can fully surrender to the Lord. That means to come to the original position. So surrender ourselves just means to clean the mirror to actually see who we are. That's it. We don't have to do something special, something extra. That's just to come to the original position. Like, we go outside and play in mud, so we become dirty, muddy. So, we may look not exactly like we are, so somebody may mistake us for somebody else. But it's simple process. You just go to a shower and then take a shower, you clean yourself, and then you will become again who you were before you were playing. So, it's not a difficulty. So here also, we are contaminated by the modes of nature. So we have to just take shower, the shower of the Holy Name, to get purified. So then we again become ourselves. And then we know our original position. Our position is to be a servant. So then that way then we can fully absorb ourselves in being servant. That's it. Yeah? Why should we offer a favorite article? A favorable article. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna tells Uddhava, "My dear friend, if someone offers me the best thing in his possession, or anything which is very pleasing to him, he will be eternally benefited." Now, why is that? Yeah.
That would be an act of detachment.
Right. So, and then, but rather than this aspect, what is the other, even more important aspect of this act?
You put Krishna before your own needs.
So it's a sacrifice. You sacrifice something which you are very attached to. But not as a, you're not doing it as austerity. I don't need it. Throw it away. No, it's not that, it's not act of austerity. It's act of sacrifice. I don't need it, but he needs it more. I am going to give it to him. Not get rid of it. But I'm going to take it and I'm going to give it to him. So we will achieve the element of I get rid of it, but at the same time I will please somebody by giving it to him.
So should an act of austerity ideally be an act of sacrifice?
Yes. Act of austerity is just for myself. See, Hiranyakashipu, he performs austerity. And he does it quite well. No. But it's for him. He's not very austere. No, but other devotees, Prahlad Maharaj, no, his son, right? So then he performs sacrifice.
Yeah. He gets a better result.
Of course, yes. But without actually even endeavor, because him performing sacrifice, he doesn't even feel that he's doing sacrifice. No, Hiranyakashipu maybe also didn't feel, because he was very motivated, so the motivation just creates the adrenaline, so you don't even feel that they are doing something. You see the result, so he didn't feel even the ants eating his flesh. No, but, okay. But it was his own effort. And it wasn't perfect because he is not perfect. But when we surrender to the Lord, so then Lord, as he says, he protects, he takes care. So with that, then we know that whatever we do will be perfect, because it's done for the Lord.
When we spoke about this offering the favorite passive early on in the book, correct me if I'm wrong, but we're offering something that is still in our possession. It's not like we've given it up. We can continue using it after, or should we give it up?
If we are using it, see, if it's favorable, like, okay, we have something which we are using for our service, and it's part of our service, and because it's essential for our service, then we may offer somebody to use it, but we still continue using it because it's important for us to perform the service. But if we are not using it, so then why do we keep it? Somebody else may use it, much better way than we do. So we can fully give it to the person. And we benefit ourselves and also the person. See, there is a very fine line in between, kind of like what actually we need and we think we need. Many things which we are using, we will be perfectly happy without it. But we are using them because we think we need them. Now we have all these mobile phones and all this. A few years ago, it wasn't here. Now, many people think that without mobile phone, they cannot exist. They cannot function. But 10 years ago, nobody had one. It was just one fixed line, and then if somebody wants to call, then somebody has to call you or call at a certain time. So you adjust to it. So the same thing, if mobile phones stop working, it's not that everybody just stops existing. Everybody has to adjust to it. And it's just going to go the old way as before. It's not anymore functioning. So if we use that article and we actually perform service, but we have still some time when we can share the article with somebody who can also use it in his devotional service, do it this way. And if you don't need it, you have two, or you don't need that because you are doing some other stuff, give it away. Yes.
As far as articles being used before one of the sets of babies in Australia were being cast, the Maltese gave their wedding babies.
Yeah. There are articles which say when used, then they are considered not pure anymore. But gold means metals, pure metals, gems. Those can be purified and then used by the deities without any problem. Shinaji took the gem from Aurangzeb and then he is wearing it. So he has no problem with that, because that's pure. Yes. And that's when deity installation is there, so then many devotees, not just at the ceremony, they take off the jewelry and then put it in the basis of the deities. That's their offering. Yeah. So it's very much, I'm surrendering to you. You guard our wedding ring or not. It's, they can create their own way how they can relate to why they are giving it to Krishna, and it becomes their own personal way of relationship, and Krishna accepts it. He takes it. Well, yes, it is. We were seeing in Jagannath Puri that once happened that the mother, she put the kid on the pranayama box, pay obeisances, want to take him, and he's Jagannath. So that's one way, that was a mistake. See, sometimes families, they would have many children, and the last child, they may not be able to take care properly. So then they just give the child, okay, you go now. Now you become a priest. It's one way how you have to just. It's. For a mother, it's very difficult to send a child somewhere and then not being in her proximity. But it is actually for the mother, this is the greatest sacrifice she can make. To some degree, as long as actually it is connected with the devotional service. Because if it's materialistic, and then we say, there was actually one story from Upakane Upadesh. There was one Brahmin, he was carrying koi. Koi is popped rice. Not like a popcorn, a little bit from rice made. So And then as he was carrying it, so then suddenly like wind comes and then blows it into the air. So then he immediately takes the opportunity, say, Om Govindaya Namaha. So he's offering it to the Lord. So he is very quick, before it falls, so then he just offers it. So I'm offering it to the Lord. So I'm so great, So like that we have to also be very careful, Something happens, yes. I don't know. Sorry, Given. So that's not the highest devotional service. Yeah, of course, yeah. But again, see, husband and wife should stay together, and then together they should go through the austerities, because the wife should be under the protection of the husband should take care and protect, and then they should, ideally, when they find service, together. And if they, separate, so then only for the sake of, it's a separation, so then the intensity increases, so then when they come together, so then they perform their duties even better. So that will be the ideal. But children, they have to be always under protection. So the mother has to take care of the child up to a certain age, and then knowing, it is time to go to the school, to do, go through education, then for us it's great sacrifice to part with the child, but it's not permanent. It's for the sake of the child. So that sacrifice, the mother knows it's beneficial for him, so then she must bear the pain. And the benefit is that he understands his position towards his mother as a son, and then he takes care when his time comes. If she is attached and she doesn't let go, then he will get spoiled, and when his time comes that he is supposed to take care, so then he will not likely be willing to perform too much. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.